Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. You are an author, and you are somebody who has a very cool story behind a children's book that you wrote called Jack and Mommy, Escape of the Burman Shepherd. And it immediately for me, like, took me back to, I guess, when I was younger, not just like consuming books like Curious George and stuff like that. But at the same time, I mean, there's a nostalgic part to that, right? Where you're like, man, it was just so fun to read it. Like the illustrations and all that were like, I'm a big reader still to this day, but it was a whole different experience back then. And your ability to maybe get lost in a story, it made me think of that. And I also was somebody who, like, I was telling you a little bit off air how I would like try to like draw my own comic books or create like, you know, my own book stapled together. And it was just like an amateur version. I was like a weird kid that would like creatively, I you know, writing took a different direction for me, like with stand up and stuff, but it still was the spark that got me like involved in something creative or appreciating it. So immediately when I, you know, saw what you did, I was like, wow, this is, I'm really excited to talk to you.
I love that. That's so funny that you say that. All of the different versions of this book kind of began from me taking exactly what you did as a creative. I had this little story in my mind and I literally took a book, wrote it down, wrote down pictures, terrible pictures. I'm not an artist in any way. And I just kind of like had this itch to write this story about me and my son. And one day when we had a little adventure. And it's just funny because that's really how my book started, which is seems a little ridiculous. And then obviously all the hard work came. But it all started one day on a walk. I took a walk with my three-year-old. We were walking around my neighborhood. It was a beautiful, perfect day. And I was pregnant with my daughter. And we were walking with my tiny little dog and we just saw this huge German Shepherd and he ripped off his leash and he was going to attack us. And it was terrifying. Oh, wow. And I didn't know what to do. And just as a mom, you're like, okay, protect my kids. What do I do? You know?
Right.
So I wasn't like brave or cool. I just literally turned around and ran home, which was really funny. And then my son said, what are you doing? Where are you going? And I said, come on, come on. It's okay. We had just walked out of the house to go for a walk. And we ran in the house. We like slammed the door. It was this big moment. And my son said, whoa, mommy, that was one big Burman Shepherd. And he called it a Burman Shepherd. So it was just like this cute little story where he called a German Shepherd a Burman Shepherd. And we hysterical laughed. And it was just like a tiny little moment in his childhood, like one of those little magic moments that happen. Mm-hmm. And then it got stuck in my head. And I'm like, that's the cutest little story. And I kept thinking about it. And then I would add something to it. Like, I bet that happens to you creatively, you know, like you would add a little thing. This is, you know, like, this is such a good idea. I'm going to have mommy save the day because we don't have a lot of books like that. I'm going to have mommy save the day. And then how is she going to save the day? And then it was kind of like, all right, my son loves these four things. He loves dinosaurs. He loves blocks. He loves bubbles, like all the little kid things. So then those were the ways that mommy saved the day. And then it was kind of from that moment that I had this idea in my head, it would just go around and around in my head and it would always come back. Mm-hmm. And people said, write a book, you know? So yeah, then I kind of did like, what you did as a little kid and just tried.
It's cool you say like tiny moments, because I do feel like not just books, but anything in art that we end up really being attracted to, it's like the same reason why we know like the main characters in a show that we're watching, like they're going to live till the end. There's four seasons, right? But every time they get close to death, you're just like, you're connected to it and you still continue to watch because of the tiny moments. You're like, how is this going to play out? How are they going to make it to the end? This looks crazy, right? How are they going to survive? So I think that being able to hone in on that, especially in children's book, it's like a well of, I mean, it's kind of like what you do on stage with maybe a joke or a bit or a premise. It's like, you just keep going and going until it like has nothing. That might not happen all at once. It's iterations, like you said, where you keep coming back to it, you keep molding it. Like there's stuff that 6 months to 9 months later works and is just crushing and is a surefire, like 10 out of 10 type thing that you can rely on, but it wasn't 6 to 9 months ago. And I'm sure for you to see that creative build was satisfying. Like, hey, I didn't know how to do any of this. And I just kind of figured it out. What was that like? Are you somebody who has always been that way where that's an instinct of yours to kind of do it yourself and figure it out? Or, was this kind of like, cause I am curious when you dive into it, there are always unexpected twists and turns, you know, what were some of those like for you dealing with that? Cause creatively that can be tough too. You know, you've got the thing and then it's like, all right, there's all these logistical things that come up in the way to making it a reality.
Oh, 100%. It's so funny because, so I used to be a special ed teacher and I'm kind of very type A and very organized and do it myself and I could figure it out. And that's just always personality wise how I've been.
Yeah.
So kind of when I started this project, I just thought to myself, I'll just do it all by myself. So I had mm-hmm. written my book. I was kind of in the editing phase. I figured I'll learn how to do everything. And then if I do everything, I'll make it perfect and I'll make what I want. And that was kind of my first plan. And then I realized that I needed to know how to publish, how to edit, how to find an illustrator, how to become the project manager of this huge kind of ordeal and monster right. and big business. It was like my own business.
Yeah.
How to format a book, how to publish a book, how to do the marketing, how to do the sales. So I hadn't realized that. And then right. I had this, oh no, I can't do it moment where you kind of want to give up.
That,
and you,
that's always, yeah, oh my gosh, that's always a turning point, right? I'm sure that molded yes. a lot of things. Like what happened in that moment for you where, I mean, did it shift things? Walk me through what it was like. Do you remember it?
I 100% remember it. And it's so funny because I had this, I'm a mom, so I shouldn't curse, but
you're good.
I had the what the hell yeah. are you thinking moment. And I just thought I couldn't do it. And I was like, you know what? It would have been fun to write a book. It's going to take way too long. I can't. I think it's just too much on my plate. I have no time. I'm exhausted. I have these two little kids. Then it was a pandemic. I'm like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
It's too much, you know? And I kind of realized that the second phase of this whole process was to make a list. Figure out kind of for me what I could do, what I couldn't do, who I should kind of get in my corner. Can I find a mentor? Can I find someone who's written a book before? Can I learn from them? And that's right. what I did. And that helped me a huge amount. So I hired a publishing consultant and I just kind of said, like, can you do the formatting? Can you do the editing? I don't know how to do all of this. And at first I had sat there and was trying to figure out on YouTube what programs yeah. to do. And I was really going to do the entire thing myself. And then I realized, this is going to take 100 years and I don't have that time.
You're so right.
I actually can't. I can't do it myself. So
yeah,
that was a huge realization. And that really got me to the finish line, which was great.
It's so funny you say that because that's like true, I think, in any project. I mean, one of the things I do now is I help, like I produce podcasts and I do it, you mm-hmm. know, for other coaches and trainers in the fitness industry, because that's like where I came from and what I'm connected to a little bit. And it's such an overwhelming thing to think about. Like you said, people dive into YouTube video. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that where it's like, yeah, I started the YouTube video and then you just kind of like get overwhelmed. You hit save to later, watch later. And then, you know, you start browsing for mics and then you don't do it. But having a list of everything that's actually like required to launch and get yourself, what's it like to get the 3 episodes out there, right? It simplifies it because you can look at it and go exactly what you did, which is like, do I want to spend time learning this thing or is this one something I can relay to somebody else? And then there might be ones that that are in your wheelhouse and you're like, I'm going to do this. So it seems like you realize the power of, you know, I guess like collaboration and how to like lean into your strengths in a way and maybe out, you know, outsource your weaknesses to some degree. But at the same time, you were like, you probably learned, that doesn't mean you didn't learn a lot along the way, because you learned how to like paint, right? And stuff like that for this yes. book from scratch. So walk me through that. What was it like to like kind of learn some of these things from scratch? Are you somebody who gets excited by that, or were you like, was it nerve-wracking at times?
That's a great question. It's so funny because I realized that certain things I could not do. I'm not tech savvy. Even like setting up this podcast, I'm like, I don't see that button. Like, I just don't have yeah. that. sorry about that. No, and it's funny, like I give you so much credit for being a comedian because I think it's cool to be funny and great, but just I don't have it in me. Like, I could not be a comedian. I'm sweet and kind and fun, but like just don't have it in me. So I just think it's like a magic trick. So at a certain point, I realized these certain things I do not have. But then speaking to my illustrator, I realized somebody had to watercolor this book. Somebody had to paint the book. And I went on YouTube and I'm like, all right, can I figure it out? And I kind of found this great guy. I don't even know his name. And he said, you need to do these three things to watercolor. And I tried it and I could do it. So it was just the coolest moment wow. where I realized, okay, I'm going to paint this book. I'm going to try. I'm going to do it. My husband had my two kids out while I was working. And I was sitting in my office and just kind of like going through my list of things that I had to get done. And he came home and I had painted one of the illustrations. And he looked at me and he said, are you kidding me? You just painted this? And it was just such a cool moment because it was like the villain in the book. So there's a bad guy dog in the book, the Burman Shepherd, which I was mm-hmm. actually nervous to name the book The Burman Shepherd because everybody immediately thinks, what's a Burman Shepherd? Is it supposed to be German Shepherd? I don't understand. I was originally right. going to name it Jack and Mommy, just Jack and Mommy books, but I want to make it a series, hopefully in the end. So yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Burman Shepherd. Jack and Mommy Escape the Burman Shepherd. It's exciting. But I painted the Burman Shepherd and my husband came home and he said, this is going to be a book. And it was one of my little moments that meant so much. And it sounds silly, but I had kind of like the way that I look at this book is I jumped out of an airplane and I said, I'm going to do a book. And I told a few people and then I just jumped out of an airplane and didn't have a parachute and kind of had to figure out how to figure it out. And as I did that, yeah. painting was one of the things that I could do. So it was so exciting. It took me 5 hours a page.
But
now I feel, yes, it took me 60 hours to paint this book at least.
That's amazing.
But it's just, yeah, it's just such a cool thing because now I feel like kind of half of the star of the book is the illustrations and they're beautiful and they're paintings and it just made it more special. So that was cool that I could do that part, even though I could not do other parts, but I could. So that was cool.
Well, there's also
that
a lot
exciting
of
exciting for sure.
I know you said it, you're like, it sounds silly, but it's really not because there's so much internal stuff built up to like that you don't see. I mean, to the outside, the external, there's like a checklist of things that got to get done to get it out there, but it's still like, you got to take normal life and external, like everything that's happening around you into account. And sometimes those like little milestones of even just like, oh my gosh, I did the first page, I named the book or I outlined it or wrote the first draft, like mean so much more because it's just like, it's like a turning point sometimes in the creative process or journey. So I totally relate to that. The other thing you mentioned earlier was like, you know, you had this call. Did you say you learned from somebody in three, her, he taught you how to do three things. Tell me more about that because like, that sounds cool to me because when someone arms you with like, even it could be a line that sticks with you, you know what I mean? Or a story that like you remember it. It's not even just techniques or tactics. Sometimes it's just like, it resonates, it hits you at the right time and it triggers this like skill set in you or for you to like develop it. Right. Cause a lot of it is like, you know, it's there for some of us. It's dormant. It's like, some of, you know, you decide to push on some skills harder than others because you're like, I like this and I see it's fun and I have a little aptitude for it maybe. So what was that like for you? What'd you learn, I guess, that made you go like light bulb moment, I guess?
I feel like what I learned is that as a writer, you can fail and try again. And I feel like there was a lot of that in the editing and creating phase. And I don't know if this happens to you, just kind of you look at life a little bit differently when you're creative and you're creating something and you're writing a show or you're doing a fitness plan, like whatever you're doing, you just kind of start thinking in terms of that, which is really interesting. And that kind of started happening for me. So I would just kind of try different things in my book during the creative process. And I would try to rhyme the entire book because I used to be a teacher and knowing that teachers want a book that looks for rhyming. So I would just try the entire That's book genius. Rhyming. And then I'm like this. Yeah, it was just really funny, but I would put certain things. So sequencing is a big thing in children's literature. I knew that I put that in just kind of imagination, feeling like different types of feeling. So I would put all of these things in. And then I realized at a certain point, you can't put every single thing into one book. So
right.
I took out the rhyming, scrapped it, but it's just like funny things like that, you know? So that was really cool. And I feel like that helped me a lot just in terms of realizing what I should put in my book and what I shouldn't put in my book, what is important and what's not. And just kind of like believing in yourself. It's fun for me because I felt like a mom that could never write a book and I didn't think that I could. And now it's kind of like I have this imposter syndrome where I'm still shocked and excited. And it's just like such a wonderful new world that, oh my gosh, I did it. I can't believe I did it. So I just want other people to know that you really can, you know, because I didn't think I could.
You know what's crazy about that?
And I'm
the imposter syndrome that you just mentioned, like, I hear that all the time too. And I experience that still to this day, of course, from time to time. And it's like, I don't know what that is, you know, is like your experience with that. I mean, especially early on, was that influence like heavy or was it, you were so excited that it didn't really get in your way as much like, oh my gosh, can I do this? And I know you had that moment, but you know what I'm talking about when you start something and there's the initial imposter syndrome where you're just like paralysis analysis or, you know, the different forms that it could take. But before starting, the hardest part, what was your relationship with imposter syndrome kind of like then?
That's a great question. I feel like I was so excited by the story and it kind of was my little secret project.
Yeah.
Which was nice. But then kind of even like with like fitness and working out, even with anything, once you start telling people, then it becomes real.
So I had
this moment where I started telling people and then I started getting nervous. And then I started dealing with just kind of different ways to publish. So I would speak to big publishing houses, realized you have to give up some rights to your book, realized that was not for me.
I'm with you there.
Then I would speak to, good job. Then
Own
I would
your IP.
Speak to, yeah, exactly. Then I would speak to different people and they were kind of sketchy and I just got a bad vibe. Then I almost hired this publishing consultant that like really tricked me and tried to take away my illustrations and use computer generated illustrations, which is fine, but it just wasn't for me. And I had been working on painting these illustrations
for
60 hours. Right. I'm definitely using those illustrations. But he was just kind of sketchy and it just wasn't the right fit. So that was kind of my journey. And then in my mind, I just kind of said, I want someone who's self-published and I want a woman. I don't know why. Like women rights. That's how I am. Like I just want
options,
a woman. I would
right?
feel so comfortable. Yeah. Why not? And then I found this young woman just like me who had just self-published a children's book. So I was like, oh my gosh, you're perfect. And that was just a really big moment. So that was great.
I love that about the internet, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of things that can be tough, right? But it's also like one of the great parts of it is there are so many. Wait, what was the title of the person you just said? Like a publisher?
Publishing consultant.
Publishing consultant.
So she was a consultant.
Okay. Yeah. So there are a lot of publishing consultants out there and you went through a ton of them. And isn't it crazy that like you land on someone who just kind of like you feel like, hey, you get it. like if you yes. if you can show like, hey, you get me just a little bit, like I'm on board. I'm the same way with like designers and anybody you kind of like editors and people you work with. It's like, I love that you can connect with like-minded people in that way. One of the things when doing it on your own that is harder, right? Like fully on your own, is that you handle everything. It's like a mini business or a full on business to kind of run this, you know, to get this product out there, right? Get it in the hands of people. Yeah. And, but there are also like great benefits. Like, you know, I was just like, oh, own your IP. You know, Judge Judy.
Yeah.
So she makes like $25 million a year or something crazy like that, right? And the reason for that is because early on, she decided, like, she was going to own the rights to her show, right? And that is a very uncommon thing back in those days where nobody really thought about that, versus now everybody's, I'm going to do it on YouTube. I'm going to release my special here versus put it there and give up the rights for it. And you're seeing how that can have, it's harder and it's riskier, but it can have a lot more lifetime value and return maybe. And it's more satisfying in some ways because you're like, wow, I figured this out. I figured out all the nuts and bolts to it. So one of the things was there's the creative element of it, right? I guess. And then there's the marketing of it, selling of it. Like, how did you deal with that? Because I'm sure that can be a bit of a headache, or it can be really fun and energizing. But what was that like for you?
It was interesting because when I first wrote the book, I thought, okay, I'm finished. I wrote my book. And I had to learn how to write a book and edit and get used to the process of failing and starting over. So that was kind of the writing of the book phase. So I did that. And then after I did it, I realized, okay, I'm done. And then, okay, I'm not done. I have a million things that I have to do next. After that, I had to conquer publishing. So that's kind of what I just talked about.
Yeah.
Okay, who am I going to publish with? What's the right fit for me? Decided to self-publish, but hired someone who had a formatting team and an editing team so she could help me in that way, which was
right.
huge. That help to kind of save time. And I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm always with my kids. So I'm exhausted at the end of the day. I just couldn't do those things. So that fixed that problem, the publishing problem. And then I thought, okay, I'm finally finished. I'm finished with my book. Not finished with my book.
Right.
Now I have to actually publish, which even to get it on Amazon took 5 tries. And we had to figure out, there was like a silly glitch with one of my illustrations. And because Amazon is such a huge business, they kind of like outsource, ironically, we're talking about that. They outsource their team of people that fix how to put the illustrations into the formatting of the computer program. So we had to upload it 5 times. So I didn't have a release date. So there were so many issues, even with that, a silly thing where I had hired someone to help me and she knew what to do, but there's always little issues. So then issues with that. So now I'm finally finished. I'm published. I have this moment where I realize now I have to be a salesperson. Now I have to be a marketing person. I don't know how to do that either. So now I have to kind of figure that out. Luckily for me, my husband owns a business and he happens to be a salesman. So
amazing.
It's funny, at dinner, we'll just, I'm really lucky in that way. But I'll sit with him and I'll say, okay, teach me how to do sales. And he says, it's not like that. There's a million lessons, but now it's so fun. We can talk about different strategies and I'll be at a party and I'll talk to someone in marketing and she'll just explain, do this and this and this, and I'll test it out. So it's just, it's a cool brand new world. And I'm trying to give myself kind of grace in realizing I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm kind of doing it and it's fun and exciting and it just feels good and it's new and different and it's just exciting. It's great to see my son who's in the book. So it's called Jack and Mommy, Escape the Burman Shepherd. So he's Jack. So he's so excited. And he said, Mommy, on the first day of school, I'm going to sell the book. I'm going to set up a stand and I'm going to sell the book to all the kids in school.
That's
amazing.
So
he's just like beyond over the moon. I mean, it's just the cutest. So things like that are so special. And during the hard times, it kind of makes it worth it. And you realize this is like a big thing. And I showed my kids I could do something difficult. And just kind of like my main message is if I could do it, anybody could do it, because I genuinely didn't know how. And people like me, like if people reach out to me on my Instagram, I'll help them. I just think it's so cool when people go out there and do it and try, and I'll write an email back, you know, like, why not? I just think it's right. such a cool thing to like help other people, you know, like just go out there and try.
It's just the, I guess like the grit or the doggedness to like go after something when it's totally new. And, you know, as you get more comfortable and as you get older in, and you have more experience in one field over another or one medium over another, it's so easy to just be like, nope, this is my lane. This is what I do. It's too late for that. But like people who reinvent themselves in that way and go after stuff and show that it's like, you know, it's interesting to hear you say that you experienced, you know, the imposter syndrome throughout this as well, right? It's like everybody does. I think when you really kind of talk to them and they show you what the whole experience was like. I don't know. I think that this project for you, one of the other cool things is like, it lives like beyond just the 60 hours you put in of painting, right? It's like, it's cool that it's going to be like a thing that's so accessible, like that the more that time goes on, right? And like you talk to more people and more podcasts, more whatever you do for marketing and stuff, it's like, it's very cool that there's this experience that you've already very thoughtfully created that can be experienced over and over, right? It's just like, you can do that with a podcast. You can do that with a Netflix show. You can do that with a book. Yeah. Kudos to you for putting yourself out there and trying.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I feel like you're just such a great, I'm such a podcast junkie. I love it. I think as a mom, I'm doing laundry and just like these mundane things and like literally wiping butts, like just by myself all day long. And it's so nice to learn from people that are doing it. And you say like, you bring on these great guests and you just inspire people. And I just think it's huge. I really appreciate that. I love your podcast. I just think it's fantastic to learn from other people that have done it and to see, okay, they can do it. Maybe I can do it. You know, it just like really inspires other people. People that start their own business, I just think it's the best thing in the world. It's incredible, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just putting yourself out there is huge in life.
Totally. Yeah. And thank you for that. But, you know, one of the things is like, it's funny how everything, even artists, right? Like when we start out, like stand up too, right? You start out just wanting to do more stand up. You want to do more live shows. You want to do, you know, more clubs and venues. You want to sell more tickets. You want to do all these things. And, but really it's like, you want to continue to keep practicing, you know, your craft, but then along the way you realize like, oh, there's a whole nother side to it. Like to sell tickets, you've got to do the same, you know, the same thing. There's a certain type of game you got to play to, you know, have the people to perform to, right? At a certain point in your career. And it's interesting because it's like when people take you behind the scenes and show you that it is doable, and like people who we hold in really high regard or put on pedestals and admire a lot, like, oh my gosh, this person, like, how does The Rock do it, right? How's he do it all? Like when he has kind of those relatable moments where you get to kind of see behind the scenes, like, oh, he's a normal person. Like he's also dealing with this, like, oh man, his dad died or something. You know what I mean? Like he's going through human experience in a similar way. And, you know, I think that like, that's really what we're doing with a lot of creation, right? It's like, you're trying to take an experience, bottle it up into something and, you know, really kind of showcase it and tell it the way you see it, right? Or the way it's kind of in your mind. So I think it's so cool with what the medium of what you did is that like you have such control. And this is what I love about stand-up too. It's like you have such control up there where it's just you, right? There's no other director. There's nobody else really, like, you're in charge of every little thing. So you get to control the puzzle pieces a little better and have some flexibility there. You too, to some degree, where you planned so much of it. Like, it probably felt so good to be a part of so many different parts of the process and be able to, you know, have a finished product that like can be experienced like that, you know, and it can create a repeatable experience. That's what's cool is, you know, kids who are going to read this and like teachers and stuff, like they're going to love it. Right. So it's, that's very cool to have something in your back pocket that you can pull on.
Exactly. First of all, the coolest thing is that you do comedy, because it's funny when you're little and your parent says, or somebody says to you, you could be anything you want. I genuinely don't believe that. Like, I just could not be a comedian. I don't have it in me. I would be terrified. It's not for me. I think you have to kind of learn what your skill set is. Where do you have passion? Where can you sit there for 5 hours and paint? Like, I liked it. I didn't even know I liked it. And I tried and I realized, okay, I like this. I put on music. It's relaxing. It's nice. But if I tried to be a comedian, I could not be a comedian. So it's just good to realize this is my skill set. This is what I could do. And then you need the passion, and then you need to not give up. And I think that's kind of an important lesson in life, you know, like, it's important to do something that you're good at and you have the passion for, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I just think that that's really important and great. Just like think of and know in general, you know?
Right. It's like knowing a little bit what your strengths are. Like, what are the micro skills that you might have some strengths in, combined with what do you have like a never-ending interest or curiosity for? Because that's how I think a lot of it, like what we end up doing, how, where it comes from, right? It's like you know, a lot of what we value sometimes is like, what are the biggest voids? And then that's like the thing you go after and you figure out how to do it really like, and this is not everybody, but in art sometimes, right? It's like, you know, a lot of comedians, when you get to know them behind the scenes, like they're very awkward. They're not the same off stage as they are on stage. And you have to go through that same shedding process where like, it takes a long time, right? Years and years. It takes, I would say, at least a year or 2 years to just get over the fear of like being on stage, right? So you've got people who, let's say, are great writers. They're great writers. And that's like they're writers or performers, right? That's usually like one or the other. You're a little bit more stronger in, but you have to be great at both. So the people who, let's say, are great writers, like it takes you a year, 2 years to like shed that and get good at the performing part. Versus if you're good at performing, there's a whole another side of it you have to learn and get good at. But then at a certain point, let's say 3 years, 4 years in or something like that, you start to kind of go, okay, like if I do enjoy the writing part, like that's a harder thing to do. I should lean into that and do it more, because that's like what I also enjoy, right? Versus if performing is, it's like, hey, you should lean more into writing that way versus like how you think you should do it, right? So I think like it's cool, like you, I don't know, there's a combination of things where you're like, I think it's really what you're interested in, maybe more than what you're really good at. And I think there's like micro skills that carry over. So it's like, if you're really good at,
right,
you know, cause I used to do like teach like a lot of group classes and things like that, where it's regularly, you know, 20 people or something, and you're kind of orchestrating the experience a little bit. And that is a very different experience than moment to moment judgment on stage. Right. But it's like, it does, you talking and using, you know, learning how to like feel the energy in a room and just like little stuff you don't think about carries over into whatever you do, I think, right? I'm sure you had that too, like your previous experience as a teacher going into like mm-hmm. you're gonna connect probably with the, you know, the reader or even just like different parts of the process, even deeper or in a different way than someone who wasn't a teacher would be able to. So I think that's all fascinating when you dig into like, how does the creative process actually kind of work in our brain? I'm like always into that.
Exactly. Me too. It's so funny what you said. You just sparked something for me. I listened to a podcast with Jerry Seinfeld and he was talking about his writing process. And it was so interesting because he said he forces himself to write every single day, and he takes it as a win, and he does his writing, and then he leaves it alone, and he looks at it the next day, and he takes it as a win. So he doesn't pick it apart. He doesn't decide if it's good or bad. I just thought that was so interesting, because even Jerry Seinfeld, who's like one of the greats, needs to work on certain things. And I just think that's so good for us all to hear. Like, no matter how great you get at writing, no matter how great you get at comedy, you know, like, you just have to work on certain things. And I completely agree with what you mean with the writing and performing. Like, you have certain strengths, but you really need the grit just to work as hard as you can, because it's hard and it's competitive and it takes time. It takes so much time. Like, I wonder if you feel the same thing, where you're always thinking about your podcast or your comedy. Like, it kind of like comes into your life and it changes you a lot.
It does.
You're always thinking about it, which is really interesting.
It is. It's especially when you're working on, sometimes like it might, like if you have a show coming up that night or you're performing that night, like you're thinking about all day subconsciously, you know, what you're going to do, this one or that one. It's twirling around in your head. So you're always kind of writing. It's just the discipline of like, you know, being able to like capture it and write it down. But like with Seinfeld, it's so funny you say that. He's one of those people who identifies as kind of a writer. And like, he's like, if you gave me a choice of like the guy on stage or the dude locked in a room by himself, like staring at the paper, I'm the guy in the room. Like, that's really where I feel at home. And there, I love people like that, because it's amazing that there's a lot that anybody who's good at that, sometimes they have to overcome in the first, I'm sure in the first 5 years of their career, or 2 to 5 years of their career, to be able to be the person they are on stage and for you to see such a different side of them. So that's one thing I love. And the other thing that I'm sure you would find fascinating is he has this rule called the 24-hour rule, which is like, when you first write something, don't tell anybody about it for 24 hours. So there's a moment of joy that you have when you discover something in writing. And he says, let yourself enjoy that. That's the reward. He's like, and the second you tell people sometimes about it, it immediately is like, it might prevent you. It's so it's so fresh of an idea that it might prevent you from not pursuing it if it got a weird reaction, right? And it might just need to be thought out a little bit more, right? Another day, another 2 days. But like, letting yourself enjoy it for 24 hours before you tell someone about it, I found that to be a really, really surprisingly helpful skill. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times where I don't do that, where it's like, I think of something and then I'll try it on stage that night. But more often than not, I'm like, I let a lot of stuff bake for 24 hours before I'm like, okay, let's try this out tonight, or get feedback on it in some way if I need to or whatever. But, that was like, I was surprised he had that trick, but I also appreciated where it came from, where he's just like, enjoy the reward of just like sitting there. The hardest part is to sit there and make yourself write, and you're doing that. And so let yourself enjoy that, because just like comedy, books, same way, it takes a long ass time for this thing to like turn into a real thing. Movies, right? I'm so impressed with animated movies back in like the 2000s or 90s, like that stuff took 5 years to make one movie. Do you know what I mean? Can you imagine like putting all of your energy into like, I don't even know, like the new Lion King back in the day, and you're like, I hope this works. You know, your whole like half a decade has gone into this. So I really appreciate stuff that takes a long time, because I think like I'm impatient to some degree at nature. And so it slows me down and it like checks my ego and it does all the things that like you kind of need that make you better in the creative process in a maybe gentle way, or not so gentle sometimes if you need it.
On Disney Plus, they have the making of Frozen, and it's a behind the scenes documentary on the making of Frozen. It's the most interesting thing to watch. These groups of people, they all have to collaborate. They have hours and hours and hours of meeting. I mean, it's just beyond what goes into one movie. It's the coolest thing. I can't even imagine writing one children's book, thinking about writing these huge movies. I 100% agree with you. It's
right.
So interesting.
It all takes a long time, right? It's like no matter what it is, a movie, a show, like your book, it's all like usually longer than you want it to take. But it's, I think what's cool is finding the rewards, I guess, in that process. Cause it's ultimately, that's kind of what keeps you going a little bit, right? Which is like when it's not a fully published thing, you're not at the end goal. It's like, how do you find ways to really enjoy each part of the process and the parts that might even suck? How do you tolerate that or manage that? That's all kind of like, that's really it, right? That's like what prevents someone from doing it or not doing it, right? It's like, there are plenty of people, you know, who I think are super funny, but like they didn't have a desire to go into stand-up, or they don't want to be out performing at 1 a.m., you know, in shitty places, like, and doing that for years until you get here. Like, it's, I think, like the choice of like early on, like, am I going to do this or do I want to do this? Right. And I think it's really cool that you fell into like what you did a little bit, because it's like, it's so fun to discover that, like a new skill you didn't know you had. It probably feels like a superpower.
Definitely. Oh my gosh. It feels like the best thing ever. And it's so funny. Like, you look back at your life and then certain things make sense. So I've always been a writer. I've always loved writing, but I just never thought I'd actually write a book.
Right.
I used to write poems, and my grandfather kept a poem that I wrote in his wallet for my entire life until he passed away. He just always had this poem, and that's just so meaningful to me. And I'm like, oh, maybe he knew I was a writer. You know, like I get nervous with public speaking, but with writing, I could just sit there and write, and it's just kind of my thing and I love it. And a really cool, funny story happened to me. It was kind of like a fake J.K. Rowling thing, where I was at a restaurant and this woman who worked there came over and she said, what are you doing? Are you going to college? Are you going to graduate school? Are you taking a class? And I said, no, I'm a writer. And it was the first time I had said that I was a writer out loud. Mm-hmm. It was such a huge moment where it just made me believe it. And she just worked at a restaurant. She was a server. She just didn't think anything of it. And this past week, I went to that restaurant with my girlfriends, and I saw that she was working, and I took out my book and I wrote, you are a part of all that you have met. And I wrote like a cute little message. Thank you for making me believe I was an author before I believed it. And I was nervous to go up to her because I thought, is she even going to remember me? You know, like, you never know. And I went up to her and I said, do you remember me? And she said, yeah, you were the author. You used to always sit over there. And I said, this is my book. And it was just such a cool moment, you know, where like, like a full circle moment. And it was just fantastic. You just have to try things. I've had so many people say to me, even like best friends that I never knew, say, I wrote a book and I'm too nervous to publish it, or I don't know how to publish it, or I wrote a short story and I don't know what to do with it, or I've always been writing. And it's just such a cool experience. It's cool to see that you could kind of work really hard and get something done. And I really kind of attribute that to finding somebody that did it and asking them how to do it. That helped me so much.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's why I'm so open to other people coming to me and saying like, okay, I'm at this point. Is it normal to throw away my whole manuscript and start over? Like, are these things normal? You know, because when you go through it, you really have a different understanding of the process and how long it takes. And it took me 2 years to publish, you know, like hearing things like that really help other writers and have them understand, oh, okay, it's normal. And maybe I should try this and I can do it.
I 100% agree with you. There's an element of like relatability that you as an artist really need, because there are days where like, it's not the final product. It's not the single on or the album that you put out. It's not like you don't feel like how you are on stage all the time as much as you wish you could, right? So it's like you have to I don't know, I think it's just powerful that you were able to kind of have that experience of like deconstructing a skill, truly, like deconstructing it, and then the judgment I think you made of like, hey, I'm gonna like Because it is crazy how much knowledge can be transferred, even without you talking to somebody, but like you consuming a podcast or something that was with a publishing consultant that like had done it before, and you found it and you were like, oh my gosh, this is like, this is exactly where I'm at. And like, I think that's an interesting thing in the last 10, 20 years is all sorts of media, but podcasts specifically, it's so intimate that I love going to listen to podcast interviews of authors before I even read the book, or sometimes after I read the book, but like I enjoy those podcasts more because it's their analysis and like reflection after the fact. It's like, how are people responding to it now? And what am I noticing? And what are they like? It's a real treat to get to see the behind the scenes. And, yeah, I don't know. It's anyone who takes the shots to like go ahead and do something like that. It's there's something respectable in and of itself with that, you know. So good luck with everything you have coming up. Is there a place that we can kind of follow along with it, with what you're up to, and where we can kind of go to support your stuff?
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on here. You're the best, and I'll continue listening. I'm a huge fan, and you're just doing great out there. So thank you for all the stay-at-home moms that are listening and getting inspired, and it's just the best. It's great. Thank you so much. Yes, you can follow me on Instagram. So I'm Jack and Mommy Books. Jack and Mommy Books, and then my website is denisefallon.com.
Love it.
So
well,
that's me.
Denise, thank you so much. I will get everything linked up in the show notes. And I'm so excited for just to kind of keep up with what you're up to and what's next. To anybody who's out there, get the book and support Denise. And thank you so much for listening.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Have a great day.